Greetings and welcome to another episode of the CAG Podcast. I am Kur of the House of Lunkij, commander of the Dark Moon Fleet. With me tonight are my two co-hosts.
I am Jorn of House Vampyr, the XO of Phoenix Rising.
I am Javan of the House Dongying, Shonshi, CEO of the Crimson Fury.
In this episode, we'll be discussing recruitment. How do I get more members for my ship? Is one of the most often asked questions, and tonight we hope to answer it. To help us with that, I'd like to introduce our special guest, Koron of the House Trekken. Welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Koron was leader of Force Recon for about 6 years. What is Force Recon?
Actually, I was leader about 12 years. Force Recon had twofold mission. Primarily, the first one was recruiting and helping new people get introduced into CAG, introduce them into the various fleets, ships, and whatnot, and get them connected. And then I also, at that time, the international commander for all of the non-fleet areas.
So what is now CAG Global?
Correct.
So when you took over with Force Recon, what was your main goals that you were looking at?
Well, at the time, I didn't really set a goal. I initially started off just trying to learn the job. Later on, I kind of set a goal of trying to make sure that everyone at least had their initial introduction to CAG, the first welcome letter. And then from then on, I worked on trying to build a database and a file to provide recruiting tools and posters and such for various ships and organizations or groups within CAG to introduce CAG to the various places and the local fans that were out there looking at us.
So do you feel like you accomplished the goals that you hoped? And you said welcome letter. Was this was back before email was commonly used?
No, the welcome letter was actually by email. Most of the time I was getting the initial application electronically through the website, through email. And then what I would do is I would actually have a form letter that I would put that information together with and then email out to the various people who first joined up. The same thing still happens with the intro letters to the various ships, the various fleet and quadrant commanders. They do the same thing now that I used to do, but I was always the first one to get them.
So how did recruiting in CAG change while you were in Force Recon? Like, did it change?
No, I don't think it really changed a whole lot. Recruiting basically was being out there at various conventions and various functions, making a presence, especially in costume. That is our biggest recruitment form. Of course, we also had pamphlets that we'd hand out at the various conventions. Some various individuals, and myself included, would hand out business cards that we created for that purpose. But again, the biggest thing, of course, is just making our presence be seen and saying, hi, this is what we are. Come join us.
So why recruit?
Well, recruiting basically is you're developing a base of friends, of people who have like interests, and you want to get them out there and say, hey, come join us. Let's do something fun. Again, that follows the number one rule in CAG, have fun. And it provides something for like-minded people to do.
There's also the fact that if you want to do specific projects that are a little bit bigger in scope than one man standing up on stage and talking, you need more people. And more people can make a larger burden a lot easier to bear, a lot easier to pull off and accomplish, and gives the ability of the project to meet nuances that one person may overlook, but several people will notice.
Exactly.
So once we've figured out why we want all these other people to become part of our ship, then we get to the meat of the question, which is how do we get these people to join our ship? Now, there's tons of different ways to do this. So, let's just jump right in. What is your favorite way to recruit people for your ship or for your area or for CAG in general?
My favorite way is actually to go out there in costume and be there, make that visibility.
But where do you go in costume?
Most of the time, I will go to advertised conventions, primarily science fiction conventions that have a lot of different organizations out there, not necessarily Star Trek or not necessarily Klingon based, but it's because people are the type that they like to have fun and they like to see things differently. Some will like CAG, some will like Klingon, some will like other various organizations that are out there. It just depends upon the people's interest. Just by being there in costume, it gets their attention. And that's my favorite way of doing it.
You'd be surprised how successful successful, something like It's a Good Day to Dine will do. Just going out in public and in costume and letting the non-convention goers. Yeah, convention goers are a good place to recruit from, but there are a lot of people that don't realize that they can go to conventions and have fun. So going out in just the general public is another good way.
One of the things I did a number of years back was we actually helped a local school teacher with a literacy project for the school that he was in. We appeared in costume on a stage and did a little skit. And that right there got attention of especially the younger set, who later on in life may grow up to still be interested in something we did. And then we've also done food drives and various other things and gone to libraries and things like that and advertised or shops. Even just walking down a mall in costume sometimes gets people's attention.
If you've got a library in your area that does a summer reading program, they love to have people come in and kick off their summer reading programs. So yeah, libraries are a good place.
I even did one time we had a local exhibit that was Star Trek based at one of our museums. And myself and my ship showed up in costume. And of course, the folks that were interested in what was being displayed there really got a kick out of seeing some live characters out there in costume. And I think it actually brought in a few people too with the club.
My first exposure to the Klingons down here in the Orlando area was at the Star Trek the Exhibition exhibit that NASA had. We were there for opening day, and so were all the members of the IKV Widowmaker.
I had another one too that I just remembered. We had one of our local Air and Space Museums here in the Omaha-Lincoln area that had a day where they were, you know, showing off some of the aircraft and some of the aerospace things. They even had an old retired Apollo capsule in there. But myself and a bunch of other folks got together in costume, and we had a table up there, and we were welcomed by the museum staff just to be there and recruit and show off things that we had done and talk to folks. That right there got us a lot of exposure.
This is great advice for people who they have a costume already, or there's a couple of them, you know, they have a couple of people. But a lot of the times what we see is we see one person by themselves. Maybe they have a costume, maybe they don't. How can they recruit somebody? It's hard for them to demonstrate what CAG is because they're still learning about what CAG is, but they are the people that need the most help recruiting.
One of the things I can think about with that would be the folks that are starting out, get something like a t-shirt that has like the CAG symbol, or get a hold of something that's got CAG patches and, you know, just wear it like a hat or a shirt or a jacket. And then again, the recruiting pamphlets, flyers, business cards, you know, they actually, people see those and they learn a little bit. And then just talking to people, your friends, strangers who happen to walk by, you know, give them a pamphlet, start talking to them, you know, just welcome them and be friendly. That's the big thing. Be friendly. And that gets their attention and they listen to you.
That's good advice.
And it never hurts to ask people for help as a way of recruiting. If you've got a partially finished thing that you're working on and don't know how to finish it, if you can find somebody who looks like they might know what they're doing, say they've got a very elaborate costume of their own, you might ask them for advice on how they might go about finishing this. And when you're done, bring up the point, hey, you want to help me do other things?
Absolutely. Yeah. The uniform sometimes is a work in progress. I myself can say that with a lot of, you know, interest and fact, because my costume, even though it looks good right now, is still work in progress. Sometimes I will actually come in with things that I can help others do their own costumes, or just give them hints, show them things that they can do, or have another costume available, even a partial costume, let people try it on. And that way, that also gets their attention if they say, hey, look, I'm a Klingon now. Great. Headpieces, you know, the various costume pieces, boots, gloves, whatever. That gets their attention and they say, hey, this is cool.
That's one of the ideas that Chris was pointing out for a while there, is have a table that's just a loner costume that people can put on and see how they look as a Klingon for a photo opportunity.
Yeah, that's always a good way to pull people in and engage them, is to let them try it out for a minute.
Sometimes you have strangers in hotels that are not associated with conventions, and I've run into this a couple times, where they want to take their picture with you. And I say, sure, absolutely. And I'll get right into it and act like the rest of them. Put my arms around the ladies, shake hands with the guys, you know, get close to them, rub elbows with them. And that right there is a good recruiting ploy to get their interest, because once they see us in there and they say, hey, these guys are not afraid to get close or not afraid to be here and make an appearance or take my picture and things like that. Perfect. There you go. You got a possible recruit that might be interested in joining up.
Yeah, for sure. And when you're at an event like that, you're at a convention, make sure you have a flyer or a business card that has, like, if you use social media, your social media, make sure it's on there, and your social media information. So when you give it to them, you can tell them, you know, tweet a copy of the picture to me or Facebook me a copy of the picture. That way you can engage with them online and in social media and try to bring them in that way and try to show them other ways that people have fun within the club. And hopefully something can interest them and they'll come in that way.
It's also a great way to get pictures, because it's awful tough for me to hold a camera and take my own picture when I'm at a convention.
Yeah, I'm not able to do a whole lot of selfies with my cell phone. I just let other people take the pictures.
Yeah, it's a very good way to get pictures. Sometimes you can get them interested. People have joined the club through that method.
Absolutely.
Actually, one of the recruits that was just getting on board with Discord today, who's a member of the Omaha Ship, was kind of recruited through the wearing a headpiece one time at a convention and having his picture taken. That's the Jaja Jim guy.
I know Chris Kukura, our founder, he prefers not using the tables. He likes that get out and be in costume and walk around and talk to people best. And I think that is actually probably the best way, but having a table is a good way to do it, to, you know, get people involved. But don't be afraid to talk to them. Sometimes I go to a convention where they have a table, the guys are back there chatting back and forth between each other, but they're not including the outsiders who come up to the table and just look. Get them involved and get them, you know, talk to them, you know, get them in interacting with you, because that right there gets your recruits.
Yeah, at a local convention here, local ship, we had a table, but what we did is we pushed the table back against the wall and we had some props and stuff on it and some information and some flyers, but we stood in front of the table. So anybody who came by saw us. The table was just, it was the background. The table shouldn't, if you want to move it out of the way, because otherwise it'll act as a barrier between you and the people that you're trying to communicate with. And so moving the table, being a mobile table, which is what Chris basically suggests, wandering around in the crowd and acting Klingon, taking photos with people, giving out information, you see a lot more people than you would being stuck behind a table, because people just walk past you. They stream past and they're so used to seeing these tables that they just walk past them. You know, when you're walking through a convention, do you stop and look at every single table every time you walk through? After a while, you're just walking through. You're trying to get from place A to place B. And so the table, unless it's something that really is outstanding and amazing and has some kind of activity at it, you really want to push it back and focus on the Klingons and being Klingon.
In fact, there's a term, I believe, for that. Force projection.
Is that like a Jedi power?
No, that's simply getting out in the crowd and projecting yourself.
True. And of course, if you're behind that table, people think it's just Klingons are interacting with Klingons, and they're not really interested in that. That's where getting out in the crowds and start talking to people and engaging them gets that attention and you know, it brings it back to you, not that table.
So there's also some more advanced ways of doing recruiting. You could potentially like rent a billboard. Do you know of anybody who's ever actually done anything like that? Have you ever heard stories of anybody?
I haven't. Billboards kind of get expensive over time. And unfortunately, or fortunately for us, CAG doesn't have membership fees. We prefer not having them, and that way there's no requirement for having those funds available. The big thing I found is, you know, especially if you go to a place, say at a library or something like that, have a banner that you can put up. That's a good advertising too. It draws people in.
I don't even think many of the local conventions use professional marketing to even try and sell their convention. It just gets way too expensive, way too fast.
Yeah, I nowadays it is, but I imagined that at some point during the 90s, it probably wasn't as expensive to, you know, rent space like that. So I was just wondering if there was any funny stories or anything that anybody had ever heard.
Even in the 80s, it was that expensive.
Yeah, and I've been around since CAG was about a year old. I haven't heard any stories of anything like that.
If I can draw analogies with another group that I've been with, the Society for Creative Anachronisms does a lot of their recruiting by, like we've been talking about, just going out and doing things and people seeing seeing what you're doing and seeing that what you're doing is interesting and something fun to do. And that tends to draw them in. But you've got to have the contact material, the material that actually has a number or a website or a URL or something that people can go to and express interest.
Yeah, that's a very good thing to have too. Doing things like blood drives or toy drives for toys for tots. In costume, when you show up and you have this collection or say a setup in a public area where you're doing a blood drive and you show up in Klingon costume and have your blood taken or challenge other groups, even non-Klingon or non-Star Trek groups to a blood drive or a competition, if you will, that right there is a good recruiting ploy too.
Speaking of other groups, for someone who's in a new ship, in a new area and is just trying to build up, contacting and looking for other Star Trek groups in the area or other sci-fi groups in the area is often a good starting point. You may be able to recruit people from those groups who, they may have expressed interest in doing Klingons in the past, but have never thought of actually getting into part of a group to do it. And so your ship may be able to pick up a couple of people that way.
The Royal Manticorian Navy, if you've got a presence in your area, not only would be a good place to look for recruits, but even if they weren't willing to come over to CAG, they're willing to work with CAG groups and do bigger things. We've had a lot of luck with the Royal Manticorian group in the Des Moines area with the Des Moines Jalen Bales.
I have to admit, when I first joined CAG, I was actually more of a, I'll call it a Starfleet guy. I was wearing a Starfleet costume at a convention. And that's where I encountered my first CAG Klingons in costume. And I thought it was great. Great idea. I got to know the CAG members down there, that particular convention. They invited myself and one other, who's now also a CAG member, to a pizza gathering at one of the local restaurants, of course, in costume. And we all showed up and had fun. And of course, the civilians out there loved having the Klingons and the Starfleet guys together. And that right there, it was great because it got everybody's attention and it got us some recruits here. Plus, I later on went on to join CAG as well.
And don't rule out doing joint things with the 501st, the Star Wars guys, because those can be fun too. We had a Chick-fil-A thing with both Star Trek and Star Wars to see who was there. We had two Starfleet guys and they kind of sat off by themselves. So me as the only Klingon, hey, we in the 501st hit it off real well.
They're the bad guys. We're the bad guys.
Yeah, I've dealt with the 501st around here in the Omaha area too. Of course, some of them were a little bit standoffish, but they had like a Christmas thing at that same museum that we were at. My fleet or my crew and the 501st showed up, even though we were not initially welcomed or invited. We still showed up because I knew the museum folks.
Well, when you say you weren't invited, was there any problem with the museum folks for you being there?
No, actually, the museum folks, when I found out about the gathering for the Christmas thing, the 501st was primarily the group that had initially started doing it. But because I was also associated, having worked with the museum themselves, they're actually the ones that told me about it and said, hey, you're welcome to join us. We weren't really officially invited, and the 501st kind of didn't really associate with us, but we showed up, and I understand later on that they didn't like us being there because it was competition, but I looked at it this way. There you go. We got recruitment, and we had fun, and I think they did too, and so did the kids that were there for that Christmas thing, because that was what it was primarily about.
I believe that was one of their Santa things.
Yes, exactly.
That's another way to get involved with, or to recruit, or to get publicity, is to get involved with local charities and do a lot of charity work beyond like toy drives. But maybe you could even pick a specific local charity, like some people work with their local SPCA groups.
Yeah, exactly. We actually, my ship and I gathered together some food for Christmas and Thanksgiving one year. And a friend of mine worked for the local family welfare folks, the city basically. And they gave me a list of a couple families that kind of slipped through the cracks where regular companies and things like that gathered together food. These these folks had gotten their application in too late, so they were going to fall through the cracks. And we actually filled a couple of those cracks. And I really enjoyed it when we were able to deliver the food to the families and see their reaction.
A friend of mine in Omaha said one of his earlier ships actually did a marathon in that they manned a water station in costume distributing the water to the runners.
Did they do that in costume?
I believe that's what he said. That was before my time.
Going to events where it's known that the local press will be, it's also a good way to get some free publicity once you have a costume, you know, taking part in parades.
If you're being affiliated with a convention, check with the convention and see if they're doing a morning show event to publicize the convention and see if they want you to be a part of that.
That's a good idea.
Now, remember, one of the things, too, that kind of gets people's attention is if you go to conventions or go to something where you have a program of some sort, set up a program, something that's aimed at the Klingons, bulletin boards, things where you get people involved, like games and things like that. One of the conventions I went to, we had a battle using Nerf weapons. And that was a lot of fun because it wasn't just the Klingons that were involved. It was other groups that competed against us in these battles. And that not only was fun for us, but it was fun for everybody who got to watch it. And I think it did bring in people who were interested.
Klingon Jeopardy has pretty much been playing to packed houses when we do it at conventions, you know. Come for the chocolate, stay for the pain.
Once you've recruited several people, you can start to put on some more advanced events and such at conventions. You can start manning some panels and doing stuff like Klingon Jeopardy.
Actually, we did Klingon Jeopardy one time with only two members of the ship. What we did was we recruited some people out of the crowd to be the pain stick administrators or the chocolate givers. So all we did was ask the questions and solicit the responses. There are ways of working around not having enough people, but having enough people is the goal to get these big projects done.
Right. I think originally your setup, was it made by more than two people, like the Klingon Jeopardy itself?
Jim Arrowwood helped us with most of the questions, and I pretty much set up the board and questioned things, but we had a couple other members of the ship getting things put together. Once you've got it pulled together, though, it's just a matter of setting up.
Right. That's what I'm saying. This is a project for a larger crew. It may not need that many people to run it. You can't, it's going to be difficult to pull it off with just one person.
Or a lot of time.
Right. You need a lot of time, and not everybody has a lot of time.
One other function that, or one other event or fun thing that I like to do every now and then, and I've done this a couple times, is a jail and bail. You can use it kind of as a fundraiser for your local charity or whatever you're aiming at, but it's also a fun way to get not only the Klingons involved as either the jailers or the bailers, but also the crowd, because they say, hey, go arrest this person. And it's a way to draw in those people and get them involved.
Those are especially fun at larger events. I've did several jail and bails at the Origins Gaming Convention in Columbus. And that was a lot of fun because when you went to arrest somebody, as you said, you have to go into maybe the dealer's room, and the dealer's room has, you know, several thousand people in it. And there's a bunch of Klingons, you know, dragging somebody, some poor soul across the dealer's room, who's, you know, squirming around and getting into it and playing as well. And that's good publicity because all eyes turn to you and they follow and they want to see what's going on.
Especially if you show up with props like the Klingon handcuffs and things like that, that makes it a lot more fun.
Right, handcuffs you know, a prop pain stick or two. You make a show of it, people are interested in that. Some people will want to get involved in being part of that show.
Exactly.
Look how much fun that is. I want a piece of that.
Not only seeing it, but also doing it. I had a great deal of fun being a jailer, a guard, or somebody who went out and did the arresting. I was even arrested a couple of times myself, even while in costume during the jail and bail.
Someone had the jailer jailed, and he had to bail.
That's correct. And of course, when I got bailed out, the money was used again for one of the local charities that we had dedicated for. One of our former CAG leaders who lived down in Kansas City used to be the judge, and he would fully dress up. He was very good with his costume. Even had robes like a regular judge, and the gavel that was great. And of course, they also produced certificates for those who were bailed out, as well as sort of papers that were like your arresting orders that you would give to the individual once they got bailed.
I know that Japa does that in Des Moines also. And the best reason he has for giving them the arresting certificates is now you've got somebody you can go get revenge on, have them arrested.
Yeah, he got this. He got that idea from the same convention. Japa is that other individual that showed up in Starfleet with me the very first convention we met the Klingons.
And like I say, if you've got the Manticorans, the Moro Manticorian Navy in your area or at your convention, they are more than willing to help out with an activity like that, especially if you're doing fundraiser for charity.
I mentioned panels. One of the favorite panels that our founder loves to have is Why the Federation Sucks. And he goes on and on and on for probably about 25 minutes or 30 minutes about why the Federation sucks. You know, things like they wear pajamas or they wear their bellboy uniforms or something like that. And Klingons wear armor. That is a great thing. He also likes to toss out candy with that, chocolate particularly.
Oh, he loves his chocolate.
He does indeed.
Talking about panels, there's lots of different kind of panels that you could do at a convention. You know, I've done some Klingon language panels, some panels on Klingon Christmas carols. What kind of panels have you guys done? And how do you think panels play into helping with recruitment?
Well, I started out doing some Klingon language panels and found that the crowds weren't all that interested until I started doing the Klingon cursing panel, at which point I made it a audience participation. They had to repeat the phrases with us, which led me on to the idea of we need more participatory panels. So we've ended up with things like Klingon Jeopardy and now Klingon speed dating.
I actually had a panel once that I was a part of that had Federation folks and myself as the only Klingon discussing the ins and outs of both the Federation and Klingon people, the cultures, which are better, which are worse. I mean, you know, of course, that one's kind of tough to go because, you know, it just depends upon your interests. But we also got the crowd involved in that, you know, question and answer sessions and things like that. And then, of course, the Why the Federation Sucks, I've actually participated in that too.
Well, with Klingon speed dating, we took it a step further. We get couples out of the audience and the gentleman gets silly love songs to read to his beloved, and she has two tubs of stuffed animals to toss at him.
We've also had things like, what was it, golf using tribbles or something like tribble baseball or something like that, using the tribble as the ball and a stick or a bat.
Yeah, we've taken that to tribble dodgeball, where we'll hide a bunch of tribbles on the things and the kids go out, find them, and the person with the most tribbles at the end loses.
Now, so I'm coming up with an idea for a various panel, and I know Jorn has done this. Costuming, particularly, you bring in somebody who has costumes, not only their own, but others, and they discuss what costuming is about and how to do some of it and some of the ins and outs of what they encountered or what they did right or even some problems they encountered, and get the crowd involved in question and answer when it comes to that too. It brings people in where they can see what we do, how detailed we can get, or even as how simple as it can be. Like if you're doing an original series costume, just how simple it is just to get started with it. And then something as detailed as like the Imperial costume, which is a lot of detail. I know Jorn and I both have had some pretty detailed costumes that we've built up, and that gets people's interest. They see that and then they start going, hey, maybe I could do that too, if they can do it.
And more importantly, you end up showing them how easy it actually is when you've broken down the steps to get to where you want to go, rather than, oh my God, that is a huge project, I'll never be able to do it.
Yeah, and also having source material, like where you could possibly find something that's already pre-made. You know, within CAG, we have people who actually do it commercially for sale to people. They get their measurements and actually will make parts of the costume specifically for that person. And I know some of those parts are actually quite good.
Some of the people that are making the accessories that go with the costumes are doing a really dynamite job with their 3D printers and their casting supplies.
Absolutely. And you even run into folks who like Cob, our Thought Admiral. He also makes headpieces for people and sells them. I've run into one guy who did headpieces both in latex as well as another material that, you know, if you have a latex allergy, you don't really want to use it. He had another one that he was able to make without latex that was actually quite lifelike. It was a lot more It was silicon. It was actually a lot flimsier, or I won't say flimsier. It was a lot softer and a lot more lifelike in its manner. And then people who know how to do wigs to attach to them, or I personally actually found somebody who knew how to make the arm guards, or what we call gauntlets, that had the lettering on the sides of them and things like that, that turned out quite professional.
Gove actually does a panel at conventions he goes to called Getting Ahead in the Klingon Empire. My wife Trudy is going to be trying to do a similar type panel here at Treklanta next month, trying to show people how easy it is to put on a headpiece and get yourself in costume makeup.
Are there any panel ideas you guys ever tried that have just been a complete disaster?
I haven't had any problem with panels. Typically, I haven't actually thought up the original ideas, but I have participated in them, kind of always left that to someone else who had a little more ideas of what they wanted to do, and then I add in my two cents to help them out.
I've had a few panels with hecklers at them where you're just kind of like, why are you here? But I've never had any panels that are a complete disaster, fortunately.
If you're trying to fake it, if you're taking on a subject and trying to be scholarly about it, but you're not really an expert, that's where I think you fail. Otherwise, if you've got a basic knowledge of your subject and can project your ideas to the audience and get feedback from the audience, you can make just about any topic a successful panel.
Right. If you like, for example, making model starships, you could do a panel on making model starship, making model Klingon starship. If you like painting pictures, you could do a panel on painting Klingon pictures. You know, you can just Klingonize anything that you're good at and then do a panel on that. If you don't have a specific knowledge on something like Klingon history, if you don't have a lot of knowledge on like Klingon rituals or language,
I took an idea from a gaming convention. They have a thing called a paint and take where you paint little miniatures. Well, we have a panel now that's called a paint and take, but we have a Klingon trifoil that you paint up in whatever colors you want to do it. You put a thumbtack, you glue a thumbtack to the back of it with a little cork on the end of it, and you've got a lapel pin.
Where do you get your little trifoils from?
I make them.
Somebody who doesn't know how to get a hold of little trifoils, how do they go about doing that?
The trick on just about any casting, any costuming thing is find something that has the shape you want. Mold it into the shape you want. With mold making for casting, you can make it out of anything. You can make it out of wood. You can make it out of clay. Anything that'll hold up to a casting, to a mold making process, which is very low temperature, very low stress. And once you've got that made, then you can keep making these things over and over. In fact, I started with one trifoil. Mold I have to make the trifoils for the paint and take have like 16 trifoils on the particular mold that I'm using, because I start out with one, cast it several times, then made a mold of all those castings so that I could mass produce these guys.
Nice. We'll have to do a podcast on how to do casting and stuff like that.
Yeah, we've got a few experts within CAG that know how to do this stuff a lot better than I do.
Yeah, the mold making materials and the casting materials are readily available. There are some hobby locations that actually do sell the materials for that, the solutions for the mold making, as well as the solutions for the actual resin castings.
And the major one that I use, SmoothOn, actually will ship to whatever location you're at. And they've got several sites around the country, in addition to having videos to teach you how to do this stuff.
And you can Google search those videos, or even YouTube for information on how to do it as well.
So speaking about YouTube, we've mentioned social media a few times in the past, but what kind of ways can people recruit besides going out in public and doing stuff? Like, that's one way to do it, but sometimes it's impossible. You know, you may live in a cold climate where there's a lot of snow and there's really not very many people out and about doing stuff. Or you could live somewhere where it's very, very hot, and going out in a costume and spending hours, you know, going in parades and stuff like that isn't really an option, because you're going to sweat buckets and it won't be fun.
I found Facebook is a fantastic thing, because not only do we have a CAG Facebook page, but there's also Facebook pages with some of the various groups out there within CAG, like ships or fleets or quadrant areas. And that actually is a good source where people go in there and they see those, providing they're open to the public. The CAG one is, I know people can go in there and see that. And if you see if you happen to go on somebody's site, individual sites, me personally, I like it when, you know, some of our members have their picture as a Klingon, and that gets attention. I don't myself, I have that, but I do have some pictures available on my site where people see that. Or you have it where you get receive messages from various groups like the CAG or the various ships and fleets, and they show up on your site and somebody happens to look at that because they know you, then that right there gets attention for folks. That's a good way to advertise as well and recruit.
But I think talking about based on what we were talking about earlier about showing them fun things to do, I think YouTube might be a better way of putting things out there and then linking it back to Facebook if we could get more activities taped, activities filmed, videoed, whatever you want to call it, and get them out on YouTube. But a problem I know with Facebook is you really need to get out there and let people know that this is available on Facebook, because Facebook's not going to even your friends list. Not all your friends are going to see what you posted unless they know to go look at it, which again brings us back to the footwork to go and give people that card to let them know, oh, go take a look at this. There's something interesting you might want to see.
Yeah, exactly. That gets the word out. A lot of advertising, that's the best thing to do, is word of mouth. You tell somebody, they see what you're doing, they like what they say, they'll tell somebody else, and eventually you're going to have a pretty good sized base of people who are interested in it. It's a great way to recruit.
But I think the big point here is all of these systems, word of mouth, footwork, YouTube, Facebook, they all have to be interconnected. They all have to be part of a larger strategy to recruit individuals, to get people to see what type of fun activities there are and how they can become involved in them.
I know one of the things I've seen lately a lot of, and this is primarily from the Klinfire fleet, is our founder likes to do almost a weekly post on the Klinfire fleet that actually goes out to a lot of folks, myself included, since I am technically in Klinfire by choice, that has things like there's a group up in Western Canada, up near Seattle, that actually it's a little town called Vulcan, and they're actually trying to get a street up there named something involving Star Trek. I think they're trying to do Klingon Way was the name of the street that they're trying to get set up.
Yes, Klingon
Way. And he does a regular post with this, trying to get it out, get the word out CAG wide and to all of his friends. And sometimes when it comes to our friend or to us, our friends will see the same posts periodically, because I will turn around and I'll rebroadcast those posts to my friends. So it's going to not just Klinfire, but a lot of folks too. And I have quite a few CAG friends out there, not always member of CAG, quite a few friends, I would say, not always CAG members. Yeah, of course, another one that I know they have a big thing to do is Riverside, Iowa. I've personally been through Riverside. It's supposedly the birthplace of Captain Kirk, and I've actually seen that the monument that they've set up. It's a stone that's been carved in his commemoration, if you will. They actually have a small visitor center that has dedicated things that have some of the actors and people who are fans that are brought in, like models and props and things that are autographed and photos and things like that. That is, it's really pretty interesting.
Yeah, they actually do a Star Trek Day once a year, I believe in August, or maybe it's July.
Yes. They do. And I've actually talked to the folks who run that. And then they have out on the street, they actually have a trailer that's sitting in the parking lot that has a Constitution class ship. It's not the Enterprise. I think it's the USS Riverside is what they call it. But they drive that down the street during the parade on the Star Trek Day.
Yeah, they're calling that the Riverside. They've actually driven it as far as Des Moines, because I've seen it at DemiCon a couple of times.
I know a lot of times too, Kukura, the founder, likes to go out and he gets with the press periodically just to advertise CAG, where he'll try to get press involved in some of the conventions we go to or some of the functions he goes to out in California. Just let people see that are not associated with any of the fan groups what kind of fun we can have by letting them see that there are people out there like us who dress up to play, if you will, at being Klingons, and, you know, just a club-wide function. And it's a lot of fun to talk to him and to do some of the functions that I've seen him do.
Have you guys had any ideas you haven't tried yet?
Well, I haven't had a chance to try getting involved with the parade thing or get involved with parades or getting involved with the marathons in the community yet. I think that's a fertile ground in any community.
I did a few parades. Cincinnati has a St. Patrick's Day parade. We did that a couple of times. It was fun.
I haven't actually done any parades, but I have gone to things like we had an MS walk here in the Omaha area one year that I actually showed up and actually walked part of the walk in costume. I was the only Klingon out there that day.
Yeah, sometimes it's tough finding out all the parades that are going on in your area or all the library events that are going on in your area. It's really tough sometimes to get plugged into what your community is doing and the various activities that you can do within your community.
Yeah,
one thing, go ahead.
I was going to say it's easier to get plugged in when you're in a you know bigger cities because they tend to have websites and stuff like that. Social media that advertise what's going on and you can kind of plug in that way.
I was thinking there's one thing that we haven't really touched on too, and that would be something like media style conventions where some of the actors and actresses that actually performed the characters on the movies and TV shows have actually appeared, showing up in costume with them and getting involved with them. I've actually done that with a great number of them, particularly down in the Kansas City area, but also here in Omaha, where not only have I been involved with seeing these actors and actors or actresses that have actually played in and spoken with them, but I've gotten to know them personally through the convention and through other associations I've had through CAG. I've met a number of the Klingons as well as the Federation and others. And that is actually a great way because it's people who are who like Star Trek, if you will, or like some of the science fiction shows that have had some of these actors in there. And it's not always Star Trek, that when they show up and they see Klingons in uniform, it brings that attention not only from the fans of science fiction, but it also kind of shows them that there are fans like us who are of a particular genre, if you will, or maybe just in general as a fan for science fiction.
I know at Treklanta, Jerry is trying to organize a couple of honor guards for various activities going on at the convention. They've got J.G. Herslick showing up this year, and they also have the Miss Klingon pageant, and I think he wants to do honor guards for both of those.
Yeah, down in Kansas City, we had J.G. Herslick and Bob O'Reilly both at the same convention where we as CAG members, and it was a three-state group. We had Japa from Des Moines. We had myself from Omaha, and we had the KC Klingons, and they've actually got a full squadron down there of several different ships that we all gathered together in uniform and actually provide honor guard for both JG and Bob. Plus, we got to meet some of the other Klingon or other Star Trek actors at the same convention because they usually had like, you know, six or seven or eight of them at one time from the different show lines like Next Generation and Voyager and Deep Space Nine and all of those together at one convention. Not only some of the primary characters, but some of the other alternate characters that played in those shows. And that's kind of fun because it really gets their attention. Sometimes they get up on stage and they're using props that we actually normally have, like a Batleth. JG and Bob had a little mock Batleth battle where they were using Batleths borrowed from a couple of us and gauntlets and whatnot, and got up and actually did a mock Batleth battle on stage that started as a mock Batleth battle with a large size Batleth, but then miniature Batleths and then something else that they brought in. It was a lot of fun to watch.
And besides, getting those two together on stage is hilarious, whether or not they're in costume. They do different spiels one way or the other, but it's still hilarious to see them together.
Yeah, not only are they big fans of the show, they're also fans of the fans, and they're great friends too. That's what makes it nice to see when they get up there and perform together. That particular convention that I got to see JG and Bob get up there and battle it out with the Batleths was also JG's birthday. And we threw a big birthday party for him up in one of the suites, all of the Klingons around. And we also had outside folks that joined us, as well as a couple of the other stars. I remember Alice Krieg, who was the Borg Queen, showed up at the party as well.
How did you set something like that up?
Actually, I didn't. It was put together originally by JG's personal fan club. The individual who recruited me into CAG, Admiral Trakan, we always call him Bear. He, Kragtal is his first name. He he's the one that actually, him and the president of JG's fan club, and Cragtail was the vice president, decided to get together and throw this party for JG because they knew it was his birthday. And they invited all of the Klingon groups, because we were also frequent attendees at the conventions with them, to join in and make it a bigger event.
If you can find somebody in your group who is willing to go that extra mile to talk to the guys and set these things up, you've got a great person in your group. Because I know, even as having run conventions, I know how tough it is to actually go up to these people you idolize and ask them to do things.
Well, I've met quite a few of the stars of various different shows, and I found that they're just people like us. Just because they're out in the public eye as an actor or a performer, they're still just like us. And I found most of them have been pretty amenable to just walking up and talk to them and, you know, say hi. As long as you don't go gaga about being such a fan, you just talk to them like a regular person, and they're really weird. Most of them are really willing to work with you.
I'm just trying to think of something else to ask, and I just saw something that said mentors. What's that about?
One of the things that CAG likes to do is, if you have a new ship that's forming, they actually like to have neighboring ships from other areas that are close by come in and help them grow, give them information, work with them, like providing some of the staff or manpower to go out and do recruiting and advertising, and just give them information and instruct them in the ways of CAG and get them going as a ship. Teach them how to do it, because a lot of people who want to start a brand new ship really don't know how to do it, and they kind of fumble their way through. I know I, for one, had that same issue. But for me, the Klingon ships down in Kansas City actually did a lot of help with me in getting things going. They gave me information and taught me how to be a good commander, make my ship visible, to build my ship, to talk to people. And that's what mentoring is. Help other ships grow, not for your own ship, but for their ships in their own area.
The motivation there is that being a mentor and helping another ship grow, now you've got another source of bodies or people to help you out with your larger project when you start doing a larger project. So it's a win-win for both of them.
Exactly. If you have say you're throwing a convention and your staff isn't, say, maybe 5-10 people, but if you've helped another ship grow and they've developed into a ship of another 5 or 10 people, there you go. You got double the people to work with if they're willing to come down and say, hey, you came up and helped us, let's help you. And the same thing, if you help build multiple ships, there you go. You got a big base of people who can take and make that convention run and run well.
Because I don't think Lord Vampire in Denver can do all of his panels, all of his Star Trek track programming at Starfest with his own ship. I think he's got several ships in the area that he works with.
He does. I know of a couple of people that are up there or down in that area that actually work with him. They also give him a little competition too, as far as some of the things that they do. But he can always draw from people from not only just in the Denver area, but he can draw from people outside the state, the neighboring states like New Mexico. I know Admiral Kokura comes up periodically from California. I personally have been invited to join them a couple times with some of the things that they've gone in Denver from Omaha.
Do you guys ever just like hold meetings?
Yeah, you got to plan things sometime.
Absolutely. Planning meetings are important, especially if you're going to hold an event. Right now, my ship, my group isn't very big. I've only got maybe one or two of us right now left. I'm still working on trying to build it back up. At one time, I had up to about 14, 15 people in my group, but that was quite a while back. And unfortunately, real life takes a lot of my time to try to rebuild my ship up to a group of 14, 15 people. But when I did have it up there, I had at least a monthly meeting, if not, you know, every couple of weeks.
Yeah, ship I was on, we had monthly meetings over at the CEO's house. So we would just show up once a month and basically eat dinner together, you know, have a big meal and hang out and have some fun for a couple hours and then head back home, you know. And you can really do that with a ship of any size. You got a ship of, you know, two or three people, you can still do that, you know, have a game night or something like that where you can all come over, hang out, eat together, have some fun, and then, you know, go your ways. But at the same time, think about, you know, what kind of events you want to do. You can come up with some ideas at the same time.
It's also great for getting everybody together and doing costuming, having a costuming workshop to bring crewman X's costume up to where he wants it to be, or crewman Y needs a new accessory. So everybody gets together and helps out.
Sometimes having meetings too, you you can do things like that in a library. They might have a conference room that you can use. Either oftentimes it's rental, but a lot of times I've run into them where you just basically sign papers and say, hey, we're going to do it free. They'll actually offer you the conference room. Where we used to hold our meetings frequently was a gaming shop. I know the local owner at the time at the gaming shop, unfortunately, is no longer around, but he offered us an area with a table where we could sit down and actually have our meetings. So if his customers came in while we were meeting, not only did he get the exposure having the Klingons there, most of the time we were meeting in civilian gear, not costumes. But once in a while, we'd jump in there in costume. And that would bring in people too, just to say, hey, look, here we are. More advertisement, more recruitment.
And CAG is a nonprofit group. Therefore, if you're trying to go to a library, they want it to be a nonprofit group. They want you to not charge anything for the public to come in, and they want it to be open to the public, which are all good things that I think we could easily sign up for. And then usually the library facilities are free for whatever period of time. You just have to make sure it's clean afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just want to throw on some, like, you know, CAG logo emblazoned articles of clothing, of some patches or something like that, so that people see it and go, oh, what is that?
I know Chris Kukura frequently will bring his, if he has a meeting in a public location, he'll bring in a banner, even if it's a small one, just to hang up going, this is where our CAG meeting is.
Yeah, you can get small banners there's online places that will sell them relatively inexpensively. And if you don't have money, you can make a banner out of, you know, bits of fabric or something like that. Get a sheet and some fabric paint or some smaller bits of fabric and make a collage kind of thing and sew it together.
I've been seeing pictures of members with Klingon flags kicking around too.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
if you develop a relationship with the library, like you do a reading for them or kick off their summer reading program for them, they will be more susceptible, more willing to put a poster up to advertise your meeting, us being open to the public, and come join them and talk Klingon with people.
Another thing I've noticed too, I've seen this done with like bookstores. They have reading programs for kids and people in the store itself. They have a little small area for children. And if you do readings in there, those bookstores are also willing to display posters and flyers and things like that for you. Again, free recruitment, free advertising.
One thing that I thought would be interesting to do at conventions, but we never had a good enough quality Klingon speakers to do it, is actually sit down various times during the convention in a lobby setting and just have somebody start reading one of the Shakespeare sonnets, Shakespeare plays that are translated into Klingon.
So where would you be able to find those?
They are on the web. You just have to search for like Klingon language sonnets. The plays are published and available on Amazon, I think.
I think Much Ado About Nothing and Hamlet are both been translated with a Klingon on one side and an English language version on the next page. The Gilgamesh saga has also been translated like that.
Yeah, Gilgamesh is another good one, along with the Puck.
And all of those should be available, say, through a service like Amazon.
I remember the KLI, Klingon Language Institute, used to have them available for sale too. I don't know if they still do or not.
They don't currently have any of those translations for sale. They have some copies of Hulkhead and the Grammarian's Desk.
But I think if we could get something started along this line, would the KLI be willing to start translating some short segments of stuff that people could read in public?
Well, there's already stuff that they could read in public. There's like Jatme, there's four volumes of Jatme, which are just short stories written by various different people.
And really, that's all you need.
Right. They have those for sale.
And if you're looking for YouTube videos to point people to, there's lots of songs now, pop songs, that are popping up in Klingon.
Yeah, Jen Bom, the Klingon pop warrior, has her second album coming out soon.
I know, I'm waiting for it.
Me too.
Have you seen the Soft Kitty version that Lawrence has done?
Yes.
You yes, all that's... answered at once.
Yes, I've seen that one.
Yeah, I saw him sing it in person one day.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
But there's another video to point people to.
Another thing too that I found with videos that also speak in Klingon is the Klingon warrior song. When Gowron was on the bridge of the Pah, the crew started singing and Worf got involved and they were singing the warrior song on the bridge.
I've been trying to learn the words to that, but I'm not really great at memorization.
Khoi Kalesh Puklod, Khoi Puchbet Pu. Yochbo machbo jetshuvwe shemoch chu might you. Mashuv manong, it's machoch chu.
And I've even got a printout of the words. I've never been able to learn them enough to keep them in, keep them going.
As do I. I've learned a few of them, but not all of them.
I can sing it. If I'm singing along with it, it's easier to bring to mind. It's difficult to just say the words.
You got further than I could.
Or me.
That last little bit where it speeds up and then it ends with ma oh.
Then there's the drinking song.
The one that doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a number of different Klingon language songs out there that are also like created by the KLI. They have Tach Judge Woe and Yich Bom.
I also remember the Klingon opera song that was on one of the episodes with Worf.
But I think the big thing here is that with Klingon songs of that nature, if we show what Jen Baum is doing or El Troubadour is doing, then we're showing what fans are doing with Klingondom in America, Klingondom on Earth, and the fun activities that people can do, the imaginations that can be stirred to do things rather than just clips from the show.
Absolutely. That actually gets people's attention when they see that it's not just actors or actresses on the show that are doing it, that it's us.
There's a group down here that has done, that's taken the Bohemian Rhapsody song and said it's in English, but it's about a group of Klingons keeping a group of Fetties at the bar and not letting them out. And they've recorded that as a number.
I think I've seen that video.
Psy Fried is the band.
I think another thing too that gets people's attention is like the Klingon Christmas Carol. When they started doing theirs, I know most of those people may or may not be CAG members, but when they started going out in Minneapolis initially, that got some attention. And I think I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Cobe and the folks up there with the IKV Raquel probably didn't get a lot of people who came in because of that.
Yeah, they originally helped with the first year the Raquel did, but then once it moved to Chicago, they weren't really involved with it. But that's when the local ship in Chicago became involved with KCC, and it's when I got involved with it as well. And it has very much helped that local ship become much bigger. Something like that is a very good publicity draw. If you can convince a local theater group to put on a Klingon Christmas Carol and you can get involved in it as a CAG member or multiple CAG members, and then also get involved if you can't act in the show, get involved as somebody who comes to the show in costume and helps out, like lend your services in other ways. I know Marok makes all the props for KCC in Chicago, and that is how he got involved, and he goes to the events. I've been to many Klingon Christmas carols dressed up as a Klingon, and just standing outside in the street while people are walking past, they stop. They're like, what's going on here? Why is there a Klingon just hanging out in the street? And that's when you say, you know, I'm part of CAG, and you get them in. You get your photo taken, you give them a business card. Some of those people may sign up. That's how. And then the people who are definitely coming to the show, they see you, you can talk about CAG and you can tell them about it. They're already interested in Klingons and Star Trek. Otherwise, they're not going
to
be there.
Right. And also, sometimes you may be able to assist them, like being an usher in the theater to escort people out to their seats or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can actually make that appearance.
And if you don't have something like the Klingon Christmas Carol going on in your area, watch for movie premieres that these cinemas may want to have some sort of costumed representation at. And it doesn't necessarily have to be Star Trek, because they were doing it with Rogue One also.
Yeah, anything sci-fi works there. If you live in a smaller town that has a movie theater still, you know, one of those smaller movie theaters, those are ones that you can get involved with much easier than those megaplexes. Unfortunately, those huge places, they tend to not want to get involved so much anymore.
Well, I've actually found that sometimes if you show up unannounced in costume during one of those shows, not necessarily the premiere, but also during the show itself, if you go in as a group, they really get into it. They have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, we did that for Star Trek Beyond. We went as a group in Chicago. We all went to see the movie in costume.
Yeah, we did that too at the 25th reunion. I'm sorry, correction. The 20th anniversary down there in Columbus, where we went in as a group. The theater actually took pictures of the lot, you know, the whole bunch of us out there after the movie was over. That was for the original, or that first of the newest movies.
And don't rule those megaplexes out. out because there's a new theater in Omaha called the Alamo, which is part of a chain, and they are just tickled pink to have costume characters come in. With all the Star Wars movies come out, they're bringing the 501st in. With Star Trek Beyond, they had the Klingon ship in. They just love it. You need to get a hold of the theater manager and talk with them and see what they want to do and how you can work things out with them.
Yeah, communication is definitely a big key to recruitment. You have to be a good communicator to recruit well, because you've got to be able to get the message across. If you can't get the message across, then, you know, it's going to be difficult. CAG has a lot of resources that could help you out. We have like stuff on our website. We have flyers and business cards and other recruitment materials. And also there's a lot of recruitment materials in the Mind Scanner. You know, there's ideas and articles about recruitment.
Yeah, your new business cards are neat. It's too bad I had mine printed like 3 days before you came up with that idea.
Yeah, on the website you can get, there's every member has a membership card that can be printed out, business card size. I had got some printed and they look really good. You know, I've shown them to some people and they've been pretty impressed. There's a barcode on the back that you can scan with your phone that will take them directly to your profile.
Is there like a generic version just for the website?
What do you mean?
I think he means instead of having the QR sending them to, say, Javon's Facebook page, having the QR send them to the CAG website.
Oh, there's not, but it says CAG.org on the front of it. The back of the page, the back of the card is only available to the member. Nobody else can see it. So it's kind of like a unique thing. You can't get somebody else's QR code unless they give it to you.
Asking because some people might not feel comfortable giving out cards like that, but they might give out like a generic CAG card.
Well, I think he's saying is that the front of the card is the generic CAG information. It's the back of the card that's personalized to you.
Right. So you could just get the front of the card printed and then it would just have your picture and your rank, but then it would just say www.cag.org and the name of your ship.
And then you can use for the back of the card they've got on the CAG site where you've got Kang saying, Klingons, it's your duty to join the Empire.
Right. You could put something else generic on the back.
What I did with business cards too, I actually had two versions. I had one that was specifically for me and my ship. I also made those out for not only myself, but my individual crew members. I'd get a photo of them and do a personalized one for them. But I also had one that was generic CAG that had the CAG symbol, the CAG website, and my own personal email, as well as the CAG website address in case, you know, they wanted to contact somebody specifically about it. They had me as a contact person. My email address was on the cards as well.
Yeah, on the back of the ones on the website, you can put your social media information for Facebook, Twitter, and Discord, I think, right now. We're looking at adding other ones.
And if you're looking for something else to give out, one of the things they do in the 501st is each member can get his own trading card, not business card, but trading card to give out to kids and people that pass by.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to use my business cards. I'm not really using them as a business card per se. I'm just going to give it out to everybody and be like, here, it's a collectible.
I think Lord Vampyr has gone a step further in that members of House Vampyr can actually get a collectible card game card of themselves.
Right. There's a piece of software that you can use to generate those cards.
When you guys started doing your recruitment, was there anything that you didn't know back then that you wish you did?
Not that I wish I did. There was a lot of stuff I didn't know at the time, but over the years, you know, having been with CAG for, you know, like I say, since about the second year of CAG's existence, I've learned a lot as far as how to, you know, bring the CAG to the forefront of people's minds and show it off and let them see what we're like and recruitment. Sometimes I regret not having the time to be able to go out and do a lot of it, but that is, you know, that's a drawback of normal life, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of times if you're actually doing stuff and actually learning stuff and moving forward with your activities, you don't really remember the stuff from the past. You just keep going forward and learning new things and applying them and making yourself better.
One of the things I've learned too is always remember the fun things that you can share as a story of what you've done or what someone else has done. Hearing stories from others of fun activities that they had that really you can share and that actually gets people's interests too. I know I've had quite a few things that I've done that are just, you know, I share as a story, like a personal history, telling people, and they're fascinating.
a room party is a great way to recruit some people and show people that being Klingons or hanging out with Klingons is a fun activity. And then at your room parties, making it look Klingon is a very fun thing to do. Like if you try to make your space act like or appear to be like a Klingon space, so you go into it and it's like, oh, it's like inside of a Klingon bar or something like that, people go, oh wow, this is fun, this is interesting, I want to be involved in this.
Especially with those issues of Mind Scanner that go into a lot of recipes for both Klingon cuisine and Klingon drinks.
Absolutely. I've actually been to one that was down in Kansas City that they threw, where not only did we have the drinks, we also had a Klingon wrestling, which you see in one episode, I think, where two Klingons are wrestling and all of a sudden they bang heads. And that was a lot of fun having the what we call the mundanes get involved in that.
Yeah, I've been to some pretty crazy Klingon parties over the years. You know, I've been to ones that have like wet t-shirt contests and stuff like this.
Did you win?
No, I wasn't entered.
We've even taken it a step further in that since the Raptor's Heart never did parties because of the age of the crew, we were doing lunches at the conventions. One year we did Klingon Iron Chef, and the next year we just did Dining on Quonos as panels within the convention to allow people to experience different Klingon recipes.
Yeah, there was a convention around here that had a Klingon tea party.
Yeah, we thought about that.
And of course, naturally, when you have a Klingon organizational gathering like that or a party, chocolate is imperative to have.
Yeah, Chris likes to bring those giant bars of chocolate, the huge Hershey bars that's like 100 pounds of chocolate or something like that.
10 pounds. I remember those at the 20th.
Not 100 pounds. That would be crazy.
Well, one of the mold making materials that I use actually allow me to mold chocolates into various Klingon shapes, because I could take something that's Klingon, like the grenades off your uniform, and make molds to make chocolates of them. I even can do chocolate belt buckles and chocolate agonizers.
Oh, yeah. and your chocolate trifoils. That would be perfect.
Yeah, I've seen chocolate trifoils. I've seen the trifoils made out of lollipops, but that's not what you guys call them.
Actually, suckers. We do in the Midwest. But you can use those molds that I'm talking about for chocolate to do those candies also. They're food grade molds, so you can do anything that requires under 400 degrees in temperature to make.
Oh, for sure. I was just saying that there's lots of different ways of making desserts and candy and foods that are Klingon related. You could have a table at a convention where you're selling Klingon candies if that's what you have fun making and doing, and you can do it for CAG. You could have a little Klingon, you know, chocolate CAG logo.
Well, I'm more for the giveaway option on that, because you have less health issues to worry about.
Giving away in objection to selling, sometimes the health department may get involved with that because you're making money off of it.
Correct.
Well, you ask for donations then.
There you go.
That's a lot safer.
Of course, sometimes you can also get candy that is actually commercially made and touted as a Klingon delicacy, like gah.
Yeah, you can just have like a bowl of candy worms.
Exactly. Although I have to admit, I've actually been to a couple conventions up in Minneapolis with the Raquel, and they actually had live gawk, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. I don't want to gross anybody out.
Well, that brings us to the end of this CAG podcast. If you have any ideas or suggestions for future podcasts, send them to podcast@cag.org. Special thanks to Captain Coron for sharing his expertise with us in this episode. And thank you to everyone for listening. Tach judge Klingon war. Chapla.